Hey everyone, this is Stelieffi.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, I actually want to talk about your book, Heaton, The Content Marketing Playbook.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
And I love the title of it, the subtitle of it, which is like built from 12 years and 83,232,461 visits. Right? So this is very specific. It's very much, if you show me this title, I would have a strong guess that you were involved in this because it's so good, so specific. 12 years and over 83 million visits have given you all the experience, all the knowledge to put together a content marketing playbook. So there's this book out there for people that are interested and want to get the book. They can go to heatonism.com/content-marketing-ebook. Or if you just type in, you know how I got to the URL without knowing it beforehand? I was just typing Heaton Shaw book and boom, the second URL or something was that. And
cool.
Then you just put in your email like I did this morning and you get the book. We've never talked about the book. You never told me about it, which I'm a little hurt by. I remember Ramin telling me that he read it and he shared some things from the book with me. And I was like, what? There's a book. I need to read it. So it was on my list of things to complain about and then to talk about with you.
Awesome.
So if you want to share why you put it together and what was the motivation and what has happened, all the kind of background behind the scenes stuff, I'm totally curious and interested. But if you had to like summarize who should read it and what are the core components in there? Let's go in and then I'm going to be curious and I'm going to try to get as much out of this book from you. So I have to, so I get the most value when I actually go through and read it.
Okay. Well, I wrote the book because I could, just like you, Stelly, I really believe in, sharing what you know. Definitely, through the years of doing content marketing from, having top user accounts on dig.com to, Twitter, Facebook, and even, having B2B blogs, as well as helping a whole bunch of people through this. Content marketing is just something that I found as a big pattern throughout the whole time I've been sort of running businesses on the internet since 2013. So yeah, wrote this ebook. It was partially based on some talks I gave last year and the year before, as well as some new material. The big idea there is that I see a lot of people doing content marketing. And what they usually tend to believe is, oh, we're just going to start blogging. And there isn't too much more thought that's given to it. And so I really start the ebook by talking about how we came up with our content marketing for Kissmetrics, which actually didn't start with a blog. It started with a Twitter account. And we found the hashtag a lot of marketers and analytics folks were hanging out on, meaning they would share content using this hashtag. The hashtag was called hashtag measure. MEASURE. And we basically, at first, co-opted it and started posting interesting links, not our own stuff, but other people's stuff on that hashtag. And it got to the point where people started tweeting and saying things like this. They said, gotta hand it to the Kissmetrics team for consistently pumping out good measure links. And this was April 6th, 2010, by this guy named Justin Kistner. And, it worked. I mean, that was about a year and a half into the strategy, and it worked. Like we really got the attention of these marketers and analytics folks, and then we just came up with a simple framework that we teach in the ebook, which is answer these three questions for you to really think about how do you engage an audience and what do you do with them. So it's who are your customers? So we had decided online marketers were our customers. Where do they hang out? We knew they hung out on Twitter. And they hung out on that hashtag. And then how should you engage them? And that had everything to do with our strategy of like sharing interesting links, links that we found interesting all across the internet about online marketing and analytics and social media and all the things that marketers cared about. And we just started sharing it. And we were probably for a long time the number one account sharing links to that hashtag. And this was at a time when Twitter was, growing. And so, it was early and it was growing. So it was a great place to go in and really introspect and say, is my audience there? And is there anything we can do? And so, I basically teach that in the book to basically explain that content marketing isn't just about blogging. It's actually about finding your audience and writing content, whether it's, you know, curated like we did on Twitter, or actually writing blog posts, or engaging with people in a forum, or even offline. If they're hanging out offline, you could still do content marketing to them. So to me, it's about giving people a broader perspective on what they think of as content marketing, letting them know that even though in a lot of my companies we have popular blogs, popular content marketing, it didn't start with just a blog. It actually starts with knowing that there's an audience worth going after. So that's the first main part of it. That's the big idea, I would say, that's a lot different than things that I've read out there.
I love it. So it's so powerful. And it's the simple, I think it is so powerful, but because in its simplicity, I think that some of the core power of it is lost on the first time listener, right? And it was lost on me multiple times over the years as I'd heard some of these ideas. Like even a simple thing as asking yourself, who is my customer? Is something that people go, yeah, all right, next thing. I want the secret, the hack, the viral loop. Tell me something else. And then they work on a year or two on their stuff and they do all these marketing things and they struggle and it's difficult. And when you ask them, who is your customer? Who is your ideal customer? Can you describe that, you know, person and persona as a buyer, but also that business if you're selling to B2B in as many specifics as possible? They don't know, and they're very generic. They're like, well, any business between 2 and 2,000 employees is ideal for our solution. No, it's not. And it's not an identifiable customer, right? It's not easy for us to do marketing because if we don't know who's the customer, we can't answer the second question, which is, where do they hang out? Which is another thing. For most of my life, when I was doing marketing in certain businesses, I didn't really ask that question well enough. Well, I was not thorough enough in my research on like, where do my customers hang out, right? I was just like, yeah, let's do, what is a cool idea for marketing? I think is the starting point that many people have versus what is marketing my customer consumes and likes and where are the places they do that? So this seems like such a simple idea, but I find that the execution of it, I think, seems boring to some people, is what my hypothesis would be. So they want to step over that and get to the next cool thing and, you know, write the ebook. I need to write an ebook, right? You've never written a blog post or a tweet, but let's write an ebook. And we don't know who the audience for the ebook is, or if they consume ebooks, or where they find these ebooks to consume, but we're going to write an ebook as our marketing game plan, right? That's our marketing playbook, is to write an ebook this quarter. So a lot of times people just sidestep all the fundamentals and they want to get to the end result. And then they do this, they have an ebook just like you, but the ebook doesn't create any results and they are wondering why. And I find that most of the time where I'm in that situation, the why is I didn't answer the core questions in the beginning. I didn't do the fundamental things first. So hence, when I built my building without the foundation, it was just collapsing, right? And not a really good structure. So I love that framework. It seems simple, but I think it's really powerful. One other thing I want to zoom in a little bit in is the curation part, right? You said this before, but I don't think people get this. I'm also partially saying this because I need to hear it myself more often, which is that you can build an audience and you can create an insane amount of value and you can start driving traffic to things by not just creating content, but curating content, by being a good curator of content, by just sharing really valuable links. You can become somebody that a lot of people want to follow, or a brand that a lot of people start trusting. And during Kissmetric times, it was a hashtag on Twitter. Today, some people might go, well, let me ask you directly, is finding a good hashtag on Twitter still a viable tactic, do you think, or is that ship sailed?
That's a great question. I think you can easily figure this out just by searching on Twitter for words that are related to your business. So if we search for web analytics or online marketing on Twitter today, it would become really clear that, you know, whatever the opportunity was. So if you're starting a dog walking service, type in dog walking on Twitter and see if there's any hashtags, or even if people in general are talking about the topic. It doesn't have to be just on a hashtag. The hashtag does help with discoverability. These days, I'd probably be looking at Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, and some of the more obscure sites like inbound.org, Growth Hackers, or Hacker News, and just trying to see if there is an audience there that, and if there's a way to engage with them. Based on kind of what's changed in the last 6 years, I would say that, you know, my big thesis is this. The one thing that hasn't changed is even if you start a blog, you still need to figure out how to get traffic. And so making sure you have a channel that's not just your blog, whether it's, you know, customers and putting them on the blog email list, or that would mean that at least you can email everybody every time you post and then hopefully you'll get some traffic, or building up a Twitter account or a Facebook account or something like that if your audience is there, is really what I'm encouraging people to do. Don't just think of it as a silo, like I write content and all of a sudden people are going to come. You're going to have to do a bunch of effort to get people to come. And so why not do that effort ahead of time before you spend all that time writing blog posts, creating books and things like that, and instead build an audience somewhere. So this is just a big insight that I think people don't know, because you can't dissect, you know, whether we started our Twitter account first or our blog first, and you know, no one's really going to do that. So I felt like sharing the framework. You're absolutely right in that it's easy for people to gloss over it. I could probably double down and write a ton of material around just these three questions and how to figure them out. Maybe I should one day, and then maybe that's the next book. Who knows? But I really think that, as you said, most people don't step back and think about who the audience is and where they are at and how to get involved in that. And it's such a simple concept. And it's something that is not very hard and difficult to figure out. But if you start tracing back some of the most popular accounts or most popular brands, they all started with something not so familiar to us today, not so familiar with, you know, to kind of what we're used to from them. For example, Starbucks didn't all of a sudden have like, you know, a coffee shop at every corner. They started with one. I think it was in Seattle, right? You could go visit it. And from there, things grew, right? And so in the same way, your marketing starts with one act, one thing. And this one thing might not just be this one blog post or this one blog that you're starting. It's probably going to be something else.
I love that. And when it comes to like curation today, I find that, you know, you guys made a big push in, I think, making people realize how valuable that can be. And you even in specific, you have this newsletter that's incredibly popular and so valuable, which is the weekly SaaS newsletter where you share these few but really high value links of like great content during that week. And we were speaking at the Lean Startup Conference recently, and then one of the readers of your newsletter was telling you that she would pay a lot of money for that newsletter. It's so valuable. And now I see this idea more and more. I see more and more companies out there that have curation newsletters, right? That they're like, we're going to curate all the specific content around a certain topic and share it with you. And they get lots and lots and lots of people to subscribe, and they provide really great value in return. And over time, they build a massive audience and they build their brand with that specific audience. But it's not just that. There's certain people that have, you know, become incredibly well known and have built an audience by going to the places that audience hangs out. It could be just a forum or a place like Hacker News or Inbound.org or Growth Hackers or some kind of product hunt is becoming this type of place. And they just become the people that both post very valuable link, but also upvote, share, and comment in really insightful ways and become really big parts of those communities. And eventually they become little mini brands on there. And if your customer base is influenced by that, you know, forum or whatever, and spends a lot of time every day there, then you becoming a very active, very useful, valuable member of that community can be an incredible marketing asset, right? And a massive Kickstarter in your business once you launch something. So there's all these ways I think that a lot of times it doesn't seem as glamorous to share other people's stuff than to create your own stuff. So people go, I need to write blog posts. Me just sharing other people's blog posts will never do anything for my career. But I think that's a miscalculation for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much content out there. So, you know, if you want to get started in some relatively easy way, one of the best ways to start is to share other people's stuff. That's also how you learn what kind of content you should be creating. Because once you start sharing things, you start learning what people care about a lot faster than if you had to write all that content yourself. So there's a whole slew of benefits to learning how to curate. I wouldn't say it's for everybody, because it does take time and it takes some kind of point of view to be able to find content that other people really like and enough other people that they're willing to sort of sign up for your email newsletter or follow you on Twitter just for that reason. But yeah, it's something I really believe anyone can do. They just need to understand that hey, you can have a point of view. And by sharing certain things, you're actually sharing your point of view, which is a really powerful thing. Obviously, I've built, you know, a part of my personal brand using that sort of strategy, if you want to call it that. And I think it's super valuable. People also really love it when you share their stuff. It's just a human thing, you know?
Yeah. All right. So that is the framework of like figuring out who is my customer and then figuring out where do they hang out. And then, you know, for you guys, you first started in that place, creating a lot of value, in this case, by sharing a lot of valuable links, building audience, building trust, building brand, and then starting creating, you know, first on Twitter, and then it transitioned over to your own blog. And then you started creating content for that audience, right? And kind of taking it from there. So that's one of the key parts of the marketing playbook that we discussed. And we zeroed in a little bit on the curation part, because I think that's something that's still a tactic that not as many companies and people utilize. What's another golden nugget in the book? Something that is either an inspiring story or a real cool tactic or really interesting, nice little thing that you find people reacting to or that people love or that people have had success with following?
Yeah, I have a few rules in there. And one of the ones that, you know, I think makes a lot of sense to share is just this idea that in any marketing, like there's this one rule I have. I call it the simple rule of marketing. And it's basically figure out what's working and do more of it. And when it comes to like content marketing or most of marketing, quite frankly, you can figure out what's working for others and then you can imitate it, but obviously don't rip it. So that's sort of my simple rule, which is figure out what's working for others, imitate it, but don't rip it. And the reason for that is most of the work that we see out there is derivative. It's something that's inspired by somebody else. It's something based on like an observation of where your customers hang out. And then you can start sort of doing it just like us. It's not like we were the first ones to share links on Twitter. We were probably one of the first to build a brand sharing links on Twitter and curating content. But we were definitely not the first one sharing links on that measure hashtag. We just found that opportunity and decided to co-opt it and imitate it, basically. And it wasn't anything anyone specific was doing, but it was something that collective audience was doing for themselves. So we're like, hey, let's help them out. And so I can't stress that point enough that like, if you look out there, you want to figure out what the popular blog posts are, that's not very hard to do. I'm not going to share any of those tactics here, just because you might as well read the book or just like find the sites. I've talked about them a lot. But the whole idea here is that like, if you go out there, most of the marketing that another company does, or other companies in your space do, is very easy to see, very easy to like look at, very easy to get inspired. So I'm going to give one tip that I kind of give in the book, because I'm sure it's that time and I'm sure I want to hear what your marketing tip as well, Stelly, your content marketing tip. So regardless of what's in the book, so get ready. But the one tip I'm going to share is this pretty simple thing, which is like when you're looking at all the things that are out there in your space and you're trying to figure out what you should do, the thing that you should always remember is that just copying somebody else isn't going to do it for you. It's very rare that you can look at a space and say, I'm going to do what they do and expect to really, really get a lot of traction. For example, if you do what Kissmetrics does today or what we've been doing and you're an analytics tool, you're going to launch a new analytics tool, it's unlikely to work for you. The reason is we've already taken up that space. We already sit in people's heads for what we do with our content marketing. That doesn't mean you can't find an angle. But make sure that when you do, the reason you're looking at all this stuff, looking at other people's content, trying to figure out what they're doing, is so that you could figure out what your opportunity is. It's not just about copying them. It's about really figuring out what's your opportunity and then imitating what parts of what they do make sense for you. I can't stress that enough. I'll give a quick example before moving on and letting you speak about your tip, because I'm dying to hear it. But the example I would give you is like, when we started Kissmetrics and we were looking at the content landscape and thinking about starting our blog, we had already done a bunch of tweeting. I had already learned what some of the popular topics are. That's great. Figure out what topics is important. The other thing we also knew is what's all the content out there and what kind of content really resonates with people. I don't just mean the topics, but I mean like, is it listicles? Is it infographics? What is the type of content we can create that's unique enough and that we can build a popular brand off of? And that's really what I would encourage everybody to do. And in the case of Kissmetrics, we figured out the sweet spot of every piece felt very educational. No matter who it was, whether you needed that tip, tactic, or guide today, you still got something out of that content. And it wasn't something where you read it and you were left wanting more. Because what we noticed back in the day when we started the blog is that a lot of marketing content left people wanting more. And we didn't want to be like that. We found our positioning by really determining what others were doing, what they were missing, what was popular with what others were doing, and then figure out our strategy. And that's what helped us build a ton of traffic and build the brand relatively fast.
I love it. All right. So I'm gonna jump on this with a simple different angle, which is just, you know, when you look at what other people do, just ask yourself, what about this do I like as a pointer to what is the opportunity here? But also, what about this is missing? What here is still missing? What here is maybe something that I don't like or that I wish they had done, right? So in the case of content marketing, if you, let's say that you see that some of your competitors had great success with some ebook that they launched, right? And you take a look at that and you start thinking, do we also want to potentially, you know, is our audience an audience that really loves ebooks? Is there an opportunity for us to do valuable marketing? You download their books and you read them. See, okay, what about this book is great? What about this, the format, the way they put this together was really good. But also the other angle is, what is something like, did you find yourself wanting to read it from start to finish? Or did you find yourself just skimming over it? Or did you find yourself reading it the first few pages and then just saying, you know, I'm going to keep reading this another time? Like, did you get consumed by the content or did you just consume it a little bit? Was it too analytical, too difficult, too detailed, too research-based, or not research-based and analytical enough for you? Like, a lot of times, your personal tastes can make a big difference and can be a really empowering viewpoint in what type of content maybe doesn't exist because you cannot get enough of that type of stuff. And then that's your opportunity to create, to be the change you want to see in the world and create that type of content. So if all the ebooks out there are super boring, you're like, why is nobody funny in those things? It's really suck. You know, you love stand-up comedy. You love reading things that are really humorous and funny. And you're big on all the Reddit threads that are like, have funny memes and jokes in there. Maybe that's your angle if you have the talent to pull it off to say, you know what, we're going to do an ebook about this, but let's make it a little bit more fun. Let's add some more memes in there, some funny pictures, some GIFs. Let's do something that's a bit less like stiff because everybody else is doing the stiff corporate thing. And we're not just doing it to be different, right? It's not about just doing it to be different, just like it's not just about doing the same thing that other people do to be the same. It's about figuring out what do other people do that is an opportunity for us? And then what is missing for me as a consumer of this content? Because if it's missing for you, it might be a big opportunity and missing for other people as well. And that's the way that we at Closeye decided to do content. It was just like all the sales, there's an enormous amount of sales content out there, but it's nothing that we want to read. It's so stiff. It's so 80s based. It's so corporate. It just does, the voice of that content just feels wrong. And the people that are communicating that content are not people that we want to listen to for hours and hours. It just feels very outdated and very stiff and corporate and very old school. So we decided to be